the coolest. No, you're the coolest. No, you're the coolest. Okay, I'm the coolest.
I am Pastor Floyd Hughes from Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills, and with me as always is
Mr. Mark Berkshire with Meadow Run Community Church in Ohio Powell.
And before we jump into today's topic, Mark, what are you preaching on Sunday?
The power of praying together. We're taking a little break from Revelation study, gearing up for National Back to Church Sunday. So we've been talking about togetherness last week, this coming week, and a week to come. Those are our topics. So,
okay, and those kind of tie into what we're gonna be talking about today. So after I tell you what I'm preaching on, I'm gonna toss it over to you. We're actually still in the book of Judges, and we're talking about impulsiveness and the way people respond to things, whether out of anger, out of frustration, or whatever, because we're talking about Samson, who was one of the most impulsive people in the Bible, and the way he responded to situations and anger. And hopefully we don't go kill people and burn down their fields, but hopefully we can do better. But we were trying to figure out how do we stay away from the political topics. But then, like all of you, we turn on the news and we see, you know, hostages that were killed by Hamas. We see, you know, bands of roving illegal immigrants taking over apartment buildings. And, you know, as Mark reminded me before we came on air, this is what we're supposed to talk about. We're supposed to talk about how people of faith can respond to things going on in the community and in our nation. So we're going to talk about it because no matter who you talk to in this political climate, even Christians have differing opinions. There are Christians who are hardcore Trump, Christians who are hardcore Kamala Harris. There are Christians who were hardcore JFK Jr. So it's a mixed bag, and there are still Christians who are none of those. We want anyone else or whatever, and everything in between. But the question is it possible for Christians to still come together in this political climate when they see things going on in our community, and some of them still blindly follow a political party, and some of them have left their political parties to switch because of what they see going on? So I'm going to turn over to Mark because he's been talking about unity. So is it possible? And if so, I mean, it's a broad question. How do we even begin to look across the aisle at one another as Christians and still come together?
And it is a important question, I think, because it is one of unity. It is one of coming together as a group. And I think that as we look at this, we have to think about what caused the division before we even can tackle how do we come together as one. And you can trace the division all the way back to Genesis 3. You know, when man sinned, that is what broke the separation or caused the separation between God and man. Because up until that point, God was in the garden with Adam and Eve. They were all together talking and fellowshipping and having a good time together. But then when Satan fell, so you can go back even further as to when Satan fell from heaven, that is where the separation began. And ever since that time, Satan has been trying to keep us from coming together in one accord. I said last week in a sermon that the if you want to see Satan really get angry, bring a group of Christians together that agree on one thing. And then he was going to do everything he can to separate us from agreeing on one thing.
Well, let me ask you this, because you took it back to Genesis. So keeping it in Genesis, Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to be, like you said, all family, all worshiping God together, sin entered, and then from them, there was also division. Division on, you know, ways to worship God, what offerings to bring to God. But, and we're speculating here, we're not adding to the Bible, we're not doing any of that stuff, but do you think there could have been a way for Cain and Abel to come back together? And if not, is that the direction that we're going? There's no way for us to come back together. It's going to be one side killing off the other. That's the only answer.
I think there is there is a way that they could have come back together and complete, but it would have been a complete repentance of attitude on the part of Cain. Abel was the righteous one. The Bible says he was righteous before God in offering his sacrifice to God. Cain was more of the prideful one. Look what I did and what I brought to you, and you're saying mine isn't worthy, but his is. Satan planted that seed in Cain's mind. It goes back, all back to Satan. Satan planted that seed in his mind that yours was better than his. He shouldn't be alive because you're the one that should get the credit for this. It all points back to that. You know.
So when it comes to America today, Christians today in America, where you have some on the right, some on the left, some extreme right, some extreme left, here's one of the problems. Both sides think we're the righteous ones. Both sides look at the other and say, you're the Cain. You're the guy, you know, who Satan is misleading. You're the guy who's falsely following, you know, after Satan. So... what's it going to take to make either side repent when both sides think we're the right ones?
Taking our blinders off and listening to one another and looking at one another as equals and not as I'm more superior than you are because I believe this and you don't. That is a big thing. Togetherness has good qualities. It has more good qualities than it has bad qualities, but we can gather together for all the wrong reasons. I mean, staying in Genesis, you look at when after the flood, God said, go and, you know, raise the world again. Go and go into all the earth and have babies and let's populate the world again. And they decided, the people decided then to stay in one place and build a tower to heaven called the Tower of Babel. And Jesus had to come down and say, this ain't going to happen. I told you what to do, and you're staying in one place, so I'm destroying this temple or this tower, and I'm going to scatter you all to the face of the earth and make it to where you don't understand each other. So that's when he created languages and everything happened. Of course, that's the Mark Berkshire version of that story, if you wanted to go back and read it. But, we get caught up in our rebellion towards God in a way that it affects everything we do. And I think as a nation, we were founded on godly principles. I don't care what anyone says, that is how this country was founded. That's how our government was set up. That's how our political system was set up, was on godly values, which is a good thing to be set up on. But because of selfishness, because of pride, because of disagreements and wanting to be the right one and not listen to people, we have come a long way from those biblical principles that this country was founded on.
So another question, and for everyone who's listening, it sounds like I'm just throwing questions at Mark and putting him on the spot. I apologize for that. But another question. So do you think, and I'm going to share a story later on after you respond, do you think it's possible that listening to one another will help remove a lot of that, a lot of the blinders, and then bring us back to a path of, okay, maybe they have some good reasonings for why they are voting the way they vote, think the way they think, or whatever. Doesn't mean I agree or support them, but now I better understand them, and now it's easier for me to kind of go back and be unified with them.
I think it's very possible for that to happen. I don't think it's very likely that it will happen.
Because we don't listen to one another.
Well, we listen, but we only hear what we want to hear.
Wow. True, but wow. So I mean, true.
That's the problem. We listen. We will say, I'll listen to anybody. I'll listen, but I'm only listening to hear what I want to hear. I'm not listening to hear what you're saying to me in a lot of cases. And I'm using me as an example because I don't want to use anybody else. But I'm just saying that you know, we as humans tend to just want to, we want to hear what we want to hear. That's why there's so many people that have left the church, because they wanted to hear us as ministers, as pastors, give them something they want. And what they're hearing is not what they want to hear. It's what they may need to hear, but it's not what they want to hear. So they say, I have enough of this. That's why we have people jumping from one church to another all the time, because they get upset from what the pastor is saying, and it's not what they want to hear them say. Does that make sense?
Mark is just calling people out left and right, not by name, but just dropping truth and calling people out. Well, let me share this story, because this is, I agree with you 100%. I think there's a spark of hope, though, because let me share this story. I made a video talking about, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's politically things that are relevant and important to me. And someone said, I don't understand how someone on the other side of the aisle, they said, I don't understand how someone on the other side of the aisle can claim to be Christian. And they made the statement that they've researched it, and they know that people who claim to be on, you know, Democrats, and it's not me saying it, this is what the other person said, who claim to be Democrats, don't fully understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, so they're not real Christians. There was a woman who I follow, love her videos, love her content, who responded and said, hi, I'm a Christian. I'm voting for the Democratic ticket for Kamala Harris. And I am, you know, a sinner saved by grace, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. I fully understand what Jesus did for me. And that ensued like a big blow up riot. And I responded to her, took her comment, made a video, and said, and that's why I love and respect you as a sister in Christ, regardless of who you're voting for. We may disagree. but you're still my sister in Christ, and I love your content. And then people came for my life saying I'm a false pastor. How could I? I was sinning by encouraging her to vote for who she was voting for. She was sinning by who she was voting for. All this stuff came, and it went on and on and on. And I actually finally posted a response. This was about a week and a half ago. I finally posted a video response because it's just whole bee in the house thing. Took me away from that. But one of the guys, main guys, who he made like a 10, 12, I forget how many long videos saying, here's why I'm wrong and blah, 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 came back later and said, you know what? God's working in me. I hear what she's saying. And I'm trying to understand. Just pray for me that I would have ears to hear, because I'm trying to understand and I think I get it. But there's this part of me that's still like, ugh, that's so wrong. So I think there's hope. If people can make that step that he did that said, okay, let me, like you said, let me pull out the stuff that I want to hear, the stuff that I already have my responses primed to shoot down, and let me hear what they're saying. And that's a struggle, though, because even though in America and probably in other nations, we're not supposed to talk about religion and politics, those are two of the most dominant parts of American culture, that instead of saying we shouldn't talk about those publicly, we should teach people how to talk about them respectfully. So I think there's hope if we can let those walls down and listen, like you said, listen to one another.
And I agree with you. And I know we're painting a broad picture of people that only want to hear what they want to hear. But it goes even deeper than that if you really know your Bible and think about what is going on. Jesus was and is, and God was and is, a God of love. That's what the Bible tells us all about, all the way through. Even through Revelations and the judgments, he's still a God of love. He still does things because he loves us. And he gives us every chance to repent and to come into his family. So with that being said, it's hard for us to say that if you don't agree with me, I don't want anything to do with you. Goodbye. Because that isn't God's love. We should have the response that you had with this lady. That, yes, I disagree with everything you say, but I still love you as a sister in Christ. Because you believe Christ died for you just like I believe Christ died for me. I'm not the judge of her heart. You're not the judge of their heart. God is the one who judges our heart. He looks at our heart, he looks what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. So I've known people that are in church every Sunday doing Bible studies, doing tithing, doing everything that they are supposed to be doing, and you could never see the fruit of their ministry outside of the church. What are they doing for the community? What are they doing for their neighbors? What are they doing for their family? Doesn't it reflect what they're saying they are in church? So it can go double, it can go both ways, but there is hope, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ.
So how do we make it clear to people? Because I mean, I know you preach it, you live it out, you discuss it with people one-on-one, and I try to do the same thing that, hey, it's not about a politician, it's not about whatever, it's about, like you said, Jesus Christ. And I mean, we've shared I get people throwing all these verses, here's why you can't love the Democrats, here's why you can't love the Republicans. And I'm like, but if they're Christians, I mean, put them, even if they're not, put them into one or two categories. Love your neighbor. If you don't consider them your neighbor, love your enemy. I don't see where they would fall outside of one of those two. And I've even, gone into detail with people about, have you read Acts 10, where, You know, Peter had to go to the house of someone who was opposed to his government, oppressing his government, and supported a government that supported crazy sexual things and torture and all kind of stuff. And yet, you know, God sends him to his house. God fills that same person and that person's friends and family with the Holy Spirit. And Peter has to look and says, well, they're just like us now. They're filled with the Spirit of God now. So, and Peter didn't say, I want you to be baptized with water, but first you need to change your political stance.
Right.
You need to stop working for that government. You need to quit your job. You need to stop supporting the emperor. Peter just said, hey, they're just like us. Let's baptize them with water because we're all a part of God's kingdom now. So how do we get people to see that? Because like you said, we preach it, we teach it. It's not sinking in. There are more people going away from that and saying, I can't love them, then there are people who are saying, wow, the one guy who said, you know what? I'm trying to understand that. Pray for me. I know it's going to take God changing my heart, but I see it. I'm just trying to get there. So what are we as pastors can do? And then what are we as Christians can do? Because not everybody's a pastor, because we as Christians, we have people in our neighborhoods and communities, and we both have people who will not step foot into our churches because they perceive our political stance to be opposed to theirs, even though we're, you know, both God-honoring, Holy Spirit-filled, Bible-believing congregations. And I know that was a lot, but...
And it is, but it can be... You've already alluded to this. But it can be brought down very simply. God doesn't tell us to go save people. He never once in the scriptures said that we are there to bring salvation to our neighbors. That's not what he commanded us to do. That's not our job. Our job is to disciple people. Our job as believers is to come alongside of people and encourage them, whether we like them or not. We are still to be people of encouragement. We are to come together and pray for one another and pray with one another. It is one thing to say, Floyd, I'll be praying for you. It's another thing to say, Floyd, what can I pray for you about specifically? You know, when someone asks me, hey, will you pray for me? Keep me in your prayers. And I will tell them, I will keep you in your prayers and I will pray for you as God puts you on my heart to pray. Because I know that as soon as I walk out of the church, I'm going to forget to pray for somebody. So I think that where it has to begin and where it must begin is our relationship with Christ. Do I take my relationship serious that I have with Christ? Do I really believe what I'm saying, or do I just say it because it's what the Bible says? There's a lot of people that know what the Bible says, that has it in their minds, but don't have it in their hearts, and they don't really truly believe what they're hearing. I know that's a lot and that's deep, but that's kind of where I'm at right now.
No, I agree, because I just saw something the other day that said, if we claim to love Jesus and claim to know Jesus, but aren't obeying Jesus, then we're no different than, you know, the demons who also know Jesus, but aren't obeying him. We don't show our love for Jesus by saying we love him. We show it by our obedience to what he told us to do. And if we're not loving our neighbors and our enemies, then, you know, we're not obeying what he told us to do and not showing our love to him.
And I think about Peter. You know, how would you like to be considered one of the best friends of Jesus? You're one of his 12 mates that are going around spreading the good news of the gospel. And he's walking with Peter, and Peter says something to him, and he says, "Look, Satan, get behind me." I mean, Peter was following Jesus. He was closest to him. And Jesus still looked at him and said, "Satan, get behind me." Because we have in our nature, we're born with a pride that goes deeper than anything else.
So what would you say to the person, Democrat or Republican, who looks at the person on the other side of the aisle, Democrat or Republican, and says, and make a distinction here, the person who says, "I can't love that other person because of who they're voting for." And it's not saying we have to support or agree with it. But what do you say to that person who says, "I can't love that other person because of who they're voting for"?
And I'll be very frank about this. Then you can't love Jesus either.
Because Jesus loves them.
Exactly. I mean, if we say we are a believer, if we say we are a true Christ follower, and we have hate, or we have, because if you can't love them, you have to hate them. There's nothing in between.
Yeah.
You either love or you hate. So, and the Bible is very clear to say, if you hate your brother, then you can't love Christ, because Christ loves your brother. We are not the judge. And I'm praising God that we are not the judge. But we are not the judge of people. That's God's job and God's job alone. So I may not agree with you. I may disagree with you on everything. But I am still called to love you.
Yeah. And I will add this, because I know so many people need to hear it. You are not encouraging sin by loving someone who votes differently than you. You're not encouraging sin if you're a Democrat who happens to say, "Hey, you know what? You're a Republican, but I'm going to love you anyway." You are not encouraging sin if you're a Republican and you say, "Hey, you're a Democrat, I'm going to love you anyway." You're not supporting or voting like they vote by loving them. Just like God isn't supporting or encouraging our sin when he loved us while we were sinners and sent his son to die for us. He didn't do that because he loved our sin or encouraged our sin or wanted us to continue to sin. So you're not encouraging someone's sin by loving them, even though you may think they support a vile, atrocious, evil person with evil platforms. And both sides think that about the other. You're not encouraging it by loving them. And they are not sinning by voting for who they vote for. Even though you may disagree, and even though you think it may be the worst decision in the history of humanity, we got to get that straight. We can still love.
It is no different, in my mind, to having a family member that says, I don't believe in marriage because it's a government thing, you know, and so I'm just going to live with my partner for ever and not worry about marriage, not worry about a piece of paper. Do we say you can't come to my house anymore? Do we kick them out? And there are people that will do that. Say, "Yeah, I don't want you."
Yeah. But, there are people that go that route. Yeah.
But if you are a true believer, you have them join in with you, but you don't condone that relationship. You know, I had members of my church that had lived together for 19 years and never got married. Do I kick them out of the church? No. You love on them just like you love on everybody else. Doesn't mean you condone what they're doing. Doesn't mean you can promote what they're doing. But you love them as individuals. I'm glad that God loved me, not for my actions, because I screw up every day.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I'm not saying, yeah, you do. I mean, yeah, we all do. Yeah. We all do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, you know, that's why Jesus, I'd love to know what he wrote down when the woman was standing there and everybody wanted to stone her. And he knelt down and he drew a circle. And all he said is, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. I'd love to know what he wrote. Because he sees us. He knows our heart. You know, and you say, well, I'm not a sinner. I never do. You don't do the big ones. You don't murder. You don't, you know, do, you may not steal. You may not do anything like that. But let me ask you this. In an restaurant and you get bad service and you don't leave a tip for your waiter or waitress, is that a sin? People will say no. Most people will say that's stupid. But is it really?
Some people would say it's like you're robbing them by not, you know, paying them.
Exactly. And that's my point. You know, we take all of that and we don't think about it. It's just nonsense. But is it nonsense to God? You know, if me going 65 in a 55 mile an hour speed zone, we're breaking the law, but is it a sin? The Bible says if we don't obey man's law, we are to obey the authorities above us. So if they say that it's 55 and we're going 65, I deserve a speeding ticket. And we need to get back to that kind of thinking in ways of the church. God tells us to love one another. He tells us to do church together. He brings us together in one accord. How many times, if you look in Ecclesiastes, it says the three strands are better than two. Two are better than one. Throughout the Bible, it's always been togetherness. We are together in one spirit with God. So getting back to our idea of political togetherness, or is it possible to be together if we're on different sides? Yes. That is the simple answer. It is possible. Is it likely? Only if you allow God to be the center of your life is it likely that you can be together, regardless what party they are.
Yeah, and I know there are, I know we have in our congregation people who are far left, far right, libertarian, everything in between, independent, all that kind of stuff. And although things get tense, we still come together. Things get tense during, you know, COVID, during political cycles like this, during, you know, national tragedies that where one political side is blaming the other. And it's hard, but it's possible. So I'm going to ask Mark to pray for unity in the body of Christ, something that God calls us to, something that God expects of us, something that God says there's neither black nor white nor rich nor poor. And if they existed at that time, he probably would have said nor Democrat nor Republican, but we are all one in Christ. So I'm going to ask Mark to kind of just pray for unity amongst the body of Christ.
Father, we thank you once again for putting something on our hearts that we didn't even know we were going to talk about when we started this. We thank you for being the sovereign God who is truly in control of all of it, of all of the things that happen. Your word says that you allow those in power to be in power, and you take out those that need to be taken out of power. You are the one who controls it all. And Lord, whether or not we agree or disagree with our brothers and sisters, even those who are not believers, we are still called to love our neighbor. And our neighbor means those who are different from us. It includes those who may hate us, because you tell us to love our enemies and pray for our enemies and do good for our enemies. We need to come back to you. We need you in our life. The only way we are going to be united as one is with you as the center of us all. So, Lord, we do pray for unity in our church. We pray for unity in our communities. We pray for unity in our families. We pray that you will, that we will not allow differences of political views or whatever, social views, to be the separating force in uniting us together as one in you. Help us to put on the glasses of unity and take off the glasses of division. We need you more than we've ever needed you before. So we ask that you would be with us and just let me be an example of your light and not a stumbling block to someone else. We need revival, and we need it to begin with me. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.